It's time to go under the Friday night lights with a look at the big game of the week.
We got two big games of the night, both from the Metro, but let's face it, one is big and the other one is big. So we'll start with the big one, which was yesterday, Rainier Beach and Roosevelt. How'd that one go, Steve?
Rainier Beach, not been one of the, you know, featured teams that we've been talking about over the last few years, but they're coming around this year. They're 7-0. You know, they've had pretty dominant wins so far this season, and they played Roosevelt and they got a lead early and they just kind of held on for the entire game. It was real good defensive effort, obviously, by Roosevelt. A couple touchdowns by the running back over there at Rainier Beach, Freddie Roberson. He plays basketball too, very athletic kid. Got one in from 29 yards out right off the jump, and also got one before halftime, put him up by 2 scores. And then they just kind of kept it rolling. The defense was big. They had a fumble return for touchdown. They had a blocked punt. So they were just all over the place. Roosevelt just, it was wet. It was windy out last night at Memorial Stadium.
Nasty.
So
worse it, last night than it was tonight, surprisingly.
Way worse.
So
it didn't really rain at all.
I mean, it kind of, we kind of, like the forecast was, you know, Friday night was going to be kind of nasty, but it worked out okay tonight.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of, you know, bobbled snaps and stuff, and Roosevelt just couldn't get their passing game going, and then that kind of bled into them not being able to get their run game going, and that was all she wrote. 34-0 for Rainier Beach.
So Rainier Beach, the big win there, and they've had a very, very nice season. Kind of, you know, they were good through the 2000s. They were actually had a really nice decade of football there. They've been a little quiet in the last few years, but two teams that have not been quiet in the last few years. In fact, O'Day has not been quiet for a long, long time. Eastside Catholic, ever since Jeremy Thielbar has taken over, they've been fantastic state champions, and they had the 1-2 matchup tonight, and actually a venue move, right?
Yeah.
And then talk about that. Talk about the reasoning behind the moving of the venue in tonight from West Seattle to Memorial.
Yeah, so West Seattle is one of the few fields around here that still is grass. So I think to avoid the soupy mess out there, they decided to bring it over to Memorial for tonight's game. It was a good place to have it. You know, it's very spacious there at Memorial. You know, it's not quite the same, you know, gridiron feel that West Seattle provides, but just for a convenience standpoint, it was nice for it to be, you know.
And plus, you can get more people
right
downtown, in Memorial
and plus,
Stadium
you get more
too.
People there. So, the thing about this one was number one and number two. We've been having to wait until December to see this game the last few years because Bellevue, Eastside Catholic play in different leagues. But this year, you know, they were clear number one and two going into it, and you know, it was a great one off the start. You know, it's never good to start out with a 3-and-out against Eastside Catholic. O'Day totally did that right off the jump, and the crew made him pay. Zayshon Lewis connected with Marcus Stobner for a 53-yard score with 3 minutes into the game. So it's like, oh boy, here it goes. But O'Day, they were able to regroup real quickly. Jamin Patu, he had some pretty good runs, and then he ended up punching it in from 10 yards out to tie things up pretty quickly. A big storyline in this game was it was Hunter Bryant's return, the star player over there for Eastside Catholic.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to play.
Yeah, first game back. If there was any doubt about whether his recovery process was going to hinder him, that was kind of all put in the rearview mirror when he went 72 yards to the house on a sideline route on a screen pass to put them back on top. The first half ended with a little bit of controversy. The Crusaders were on the doorstep of breaking the game kind of open, but you know, they had one play left, 5 seconds remaining in the second quarter. They opted for a corner route in the end zone for Bryant, but it was broken up by Dominique Gates. The scoreboard read 000s. Guys were going to the locker room. Officials said, hey, wait a minute, 1 second left. And so Eastside Catholic, they got one more play. They opted to go with a field goal, so they were up 17-7 at the break. And there was a fire-breathing Monty Kohler heading to the locker room.
Not happy veteran coach, huh?
Not at all. So, you know, the Crusaders, and they also received the ball into the second half. Within the first minute, an errant snap that flew over Lewis's head rolled into the end zone. O'Day almost jumped on it and got a touchdown, but instead they were able to have some damage control there, the Crusaders were, and just make it a safety. So it was an 8-point game, so still one possession at that point. Irish had a chance to tie it up, pending the 2-point conversion on a drive, but they weren't able to get a touchdown. They had to settle for a field goal. This was a 5-point game. And then the Crew, you know, they were moving the ball down the field, looking to, you know, push things out again. But Dominique Gates once again made a big play. This time he actually hauled in an interception where he was falling backwards, hauled it in. It was a real great play. And this time they took full advantage of that opportunity. They were already in Eastside Catholic territory. They got it to the 6-yard line. Quarterback Warren King, he rolls out. Doesn't see an open receiver, so he just dashes for the pylon, dives in, puts them on top. And then deja vu, they'd go for the 2-point conversion to give him a field goal lead. Does the same thing, rolls out, goes to the end zone. So they're up by 3.
20-17.
Something that Eastside Catholic has been preaching for the last, you know, ever since Teal Bar's been there. And we talk to him every year. One of his big philosophies is finish. And this was their chance to, you know, come down. You know, they're only down by a field goal. So, you know, they can tie it up or take the lead. And, of course, they're moving down the ball quick. But time is running out. They're facing a fourth down deep in O'Day territory. Lewis goes for the pass. It's broken up. Everyone thinks the game's over, but a flag comes out. Defensive pass interference.
Oh, my goodness.
So they get a fresh set of downs.
Where was the ball?
They put it within the 10-yard line. So they get to the 6. It's third down. And
there's 1 second left.
There's like five to 10 seconds left.
So do they kick it or do they go for it?
It's third down, so they think they might have time for two plays.
Oh, boy.
Go for it. Lewis rolls out, sees one of his receivers streaking along the goal line, passes it. Shea Karsten decides, I'm going to pick this thing off and end it. Ball game. O'Day wins.
Right.
20-17.
Oh, wow.
Hands Eastside Catholic their first loss against a Washington State team since 2013.
Like 37 games, something like that? I think I read.
Yeah, it's something
like,
in that.
It's in the 30s.
Yeah, they lost a couple to some non-state teams 2 years ago.
Right.
But, yeah, so they O'Day is the new big dog in town.
Oh my gosh, what a game you saw.
It was incredible. Man. You know, people use the term instant classic a lot. They get caught up in the moment, but man, for covering football for 5 years, high school football, this ranks way up there. It felt like a championship
and
game.
And not only the closeness of the game, but the quality of play.
It was incredible.
And so this is, you know, are these two teams head and shoulders better than everybody else, or are we going to? Is there a chance that these aren't the two teams that would be playing in the championship game?
So the other teams that are kind of up there at the top are teams that are out of this area. So it's really tough to kind of gauge how, you know, a team from the Seattle area is going to play against, you know, like a Ferndale or a Squalicum or, you know, other teams like that. So, you know, we'll see kind of how those two teams mix. But you know, Eastside Catholic, they're still a really good team, and O'Day kind of showed that they're in that ballpark now. And I think, you know, those Eastside and how Bellevue was the last few years, they were head and shoulders above everyone else in the state. But I think 4A, you know, a lot of 4A teams could compete with these top 3A teams and stuff. So there really isn't like a team in this state, I don't think, that is just head and shoulders above everyone else. There's a lot of parity, you know, among classifications,
that's
even
fantastic.
2A.
And that's great to see because, let's face it, it's been Eastside Catholic and Bellevue for the last couple of years, and nobody else has been close. So
not
this is going to be a great state tournament.